From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, Christian Research Journal, Hank, or the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a couple of words before we go to our phone callers. I want to mention the Christian Research Journal. It probes today's religious movements, promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and provides reasons for Christian faith and ethics. It is an award-winning magazine available to listeners just like you. You can subscribe to the journal on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. I write an article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal on spiritual boot camp. The gospel is at the heart of the Christian faith. And if Christians don't know how to share their faith, they have never been to boot camp. The gospel should be so much a part of who you are that presenting it becomes second nature to you. Of course, the first thing you need to do is you need to develop a relationship with the unbeliever, and that includes using your personal testimony as a bridge into sharing the good news of the gospel. After a relationship is established, you can move naturally into presenting the gospel. And then you need to know how to lead someone in a response to the gospel and through the basic steps of discipleship and growth as a brand new believer. And I'll tell you, if you can develop reproducing disciple makers, you can start to see the possibility of turning the world upside down. So often we look at the problem, problems like abortion or homosexuality, and we focus on the problem. But quite frankly, abortion is a classic case in point, is a cleanup operation. Most people who have abortions, if not all, know that they are terminating the life of a preborn child. But why do they do it? Well, it's a cleanup operation. The real problem is promiscuity. What happens if the heart is changed, however? The behavior changes as well. If we want to be salt and light in the culture, we need to become those who are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And if we do that, like the first century Christians, we can turn an empire upside down, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Again, I talk about that in the article I wrote in the Christian Research Journal titled Spiritual Boot Camp, the journal available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can subscribe online at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And now to our phone callers, Nikki, up first in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Nikki.
Hi. I wanted to just ask a clarifying question on yoga. Did you indicate it is okay to use yoga exercises if you are not embracing the spiritual practices?
Well, I'm saying that yoga entails a worldview. So if you're simply stretching, don't call it yoga. It's stretching. But yoga itself is a worldview. It is a way of yoking yourself to the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe in the Eastern worldview. And you do that through working yourself into an altered state of consciousness and through stretches and body positions.
Okay. My next question was on Nazarene doctrine, sanctification, and what they call the second work of grace. Mm-hmm. Could you speak to that, please?
Well, you know, I don't believe in entire sanctification because I do not believe that you have a correct understanding of sin if you think you can be without sin in this life. Look at the people in the Bible. When they were really close to God, they didn't claim to be sinless. Instead, they became increasingly aware of their sin. And that's why you have the Apostle Paul crying out, "O wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death?" You also have John, Christ's beloved apostle, who said, "If we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us." Or Solomon, who said, "Who can say I've kept my heart pure? I'm clean and without sin." So in a much more biblical sense, what happens when Christ comes into your life is you're positionally declared righteous before God, but you're yet a sinner. And that's why there's a process that takes place, which theologically we refer to as sanctification, daily being conformed to the image of Christ. When you are going to be practically without sin is not in this life, but in the life to come.
Very good. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much, Nikki, for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk next to Roy. Roy is listening in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Hi, Roy.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. I appreciate you taking my call.
Pleasure.
I just recently started listening to your program. I really enjoy. I'm young. I'm 34, but the Lord.
You are young.
He's really given me a strong desire, though, to serve Him and to know Him, and I've really began to take an interest in apologetics also as well. But the reason I'm calling was because I heard you just briefly mention Watchman Nee and Witness Nee and Living Streams Ministries, which the church I was just a part of before I moved really embraced. They actually, you know, got all, everybody in that particular portion of the body got that Bible, and they really embraced this man and all his writings. I just never really felt completely at ease about all of it, you know. But I didn't know if your statement about the Living Streams Ministry was negative or positive. I just kind of wanted to hear your quick thoughts on that.
Well, actually, it's uniformly positive. I have differences with some of their theology, but that is on secondary issues. On the essentials of the Christian faith, we stand shoulder to shoulder. And what we did in our current edition of the Christian Research Journal is a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. And we say that the information which we contributed to back in the 70s was incorrect. We participated in a fountainhead of misinformation on this move of God, which has necessitated this particular edition of the Christian Research Journal, in which we say we were wrong. And as I say in an article that I write for the Christian Research Journal, no three words are more likely to stick in our throats than the words, "I was wrong," and yet for a ministry like ours, which is committed to the maxim, "Because truth matters," the willingness to utter those words is not an option, it's an essential, and that's why we devoted the Christian Research Journal to this very issue. And I think in the process, you can learn a lot about doctrinal discernment and grow greatly in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that is my desire, you know, and I want the Lord to lead me. I feel like He's brought me down different avenues since I've come to Him, went through some pretty severe struggles and trials at times, but my heart is definitely to serve Him and to be a representative of Him, and I want to continue to grow in that grace. And I did appreciate, I have many of their books that they written. Water baptism seemed to be a little fuzzy for me on that. They kind of have some different ideas about that, but...
Well, I've seen their baptism up close and personal. When we talk about this research project that we did in reassessing the local church, it took place not only in the United States, but also in faraway places like London and in Scotland and in Pacific Rim nations, Taiwan, China, and the like. So we've done a pretty exhaustive evaluation of the local churches. And I, in fact, led someone to faith in Christ in a registered church who was baptized, and I watched the baptism take place. So I participated and watched after this individual had committed their life to Christ, came out of a university of Nanjing. And I, you know, again, there are secondary issues I might disagree with, but I certainly do not disagree with them on essential Christian doctrine. In fact, during the course of my research, I've developed some relationships with people within the local churches, and they're among the most cherished relationships I have.
Well, good. Okay, well, I appreciate your time, Mr. Hanegraaff. Thank you.
Hey, you got it, Roy. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Leon. He's listening in Overland, Missouri. Hi, Leon.
Hi, Hank. How you doing today?
I'm doing good.
That is awesome. I am a fan of your show. I have The Heart of Christmas, and I also have your doctrinal flip chart.
Mm-hmm.
I think is an awesome way, the way that you break down doctrine in your hankronym, and it's an excellent way to memorize what we believe.
Yes.
I have two questions.
Sure.
My first question, I wanted to know, is it valid to leave a church who they believe, well, the head pastor believes, and he said in a hypothetical way, but the question was asked, what happens to people who never hear about Jesus? And his hypothetical answer was, there's a possibility that there's a place for them, a holding place for them, and Jesus could come and preach the gospel to them or whatnot, basically second chance type of thing. And when it was mentioned, was he thinking of like the Catholic faith? He denied and said, no, not like purgatory. But I wanted to know, is that a valid reason for a person to want to leave a church, basically saying that people get second chances after they live? And which my agreement, I've heard you explain it before, but I would like to hear it again. I believe that a person, if they're truly seeking God, that God will reveal himself to them.
Yeah, and that's absolutely right. First of all, we have the light of creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. So we have the outer light of creation. Another way of putting that is, if you look at the universe around you, you know there has to be a God. But there's also, according to Paul, an inner light, or the light of conscience, God inscribing the knowledge of himself upon the very tablet of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're absolutely right. If you respond to the light of creation and the light of conscience, God will give you the light of Christ. In fact, Paul makes this explicit, where he says in the book of Acts, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact time and places that they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. So I think we can be assured that if someone is seeking after God, God will reveal himself to them. And that can be done totally apart from human agency. The normative way is through human agency, but God can reach someone very much like he reached the Apostle Paul, who was not even seeking him on the road to Damascus. So I think you're absolutely right in what you say. The second point I want to make is that when a pastor gives people false hope, I think that should be a major red flag. I think a pastor needs to communicate the truth with gentleness and with respect, but not give people false hope. That is not helpful. That's hurtful.
Okay. Okay. And I agree with you. And it's funny because after the question was asked in the congregation, I heard you days later explain this to another caller. And I thought it was confirmation from God, basically, because I was agreeing with what you were telling the guy that you were speaking with, because I do believe that God can reach us in different ways. I mean, he did it with the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he did it with Paul. And so I just believe if a person really is seeking out God, that he will reveal himself to them.
Yeah, and the whole issue here, and this is very fundamental, the issue becomes, do you want a relationship with God? If so, God is not going to say, I'm hiding and you're not going to find me.
Uh-huh.
If you don't want a relationship with God in this life, God is not going to force himself on you in the life to come. And hell is exactly that. It is the absence of God's grace and goodness and love for all eternity, which is a torment that is inconceivable.
Amen. Amen. And I could try to rush my second question as well. I don't think that there's any biblical reference that we have to make this assumption, but there was also another hypothetical answer given, saying that there's a possibility that Satan saw Jesus as an angel and not as the Son of God, or that he does see Jesus as an angel and not as the Son of God?
No, not at all. Satan had requisite knowledge, as did the angels that fell with him. And therefore, the notion that he saw Jesus merely as an angel and not as God is simply unfounded from a biblical standpoint. And again, what I like about your questions, Leon, is we are called to test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. And that is precisely what you're doing. Check all things out. What I say is not the final court of arbitration. We have the final court of arbitration. It is the Word of God. And our goal this year, more than ever, is to get people into the Word and get the Word into them. To that end, I have a legacy reading plan on a laminated place marker, which you can put in your Bible. You can ask for it through the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. We'll be right back with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
Global catastrophe is just hours away, and only one man can stop it. In his hands, he holds the fuse of Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the riveting novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn must come face-to-face with his past in order to stop the worst terrorist threat of all time, a plot to bring about the ultimate uprising by destroying one of the most sacred relics in history. Only Quinn can stop an unholy trinity of evil from achieving this goal. But will he be in time? Or is it already too late? The entire world hangs in the balance, and failure means Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the explosive novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Now available for a special discounted price.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors, and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry, and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise Audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Has your spiritual life been strengthened through the radio ministry of the Bible Answer Man broadcast? If so, consider making a one-time gift to the work and ministry of CRI, or commit to becoming a regular monthly supporter. This month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, we'd like to send you a copy of Grace Fabian's new book, Outrageous Grace. This gripping story opens with the brutal murder of a missionary translator in Papua New Guinea, whose wife, Grace, was the first witness on the scene. You'll see how Grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was ultimately able to forgive the man who killed her husband. This book quickly becomes a favorite, so make your donation today, a one-time gift or a monthly pledge of support. Call our resource consultants at 888-7000-274 or donate online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now we return to the broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Les, listening on KKLA in West Hills, California. Hi, Les.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm well,
and
thank you.
And it's so good to have you guys back on in Southern California.
Thank you.
Hank, I'd like to know a little about the Christadelphians. I've studied a little with them. They seem to be very genuine. I know they're a break-off of the Jehovah's Witness, but they don't follow Jehovah's Witness teachings. Do you know anything about Christadelphians?
Yeah, I do, and there are some real big red flags here. If you look at their name alone, it is a name derived from their denial of the deity of Jesus Christ. Christos plus Adelphos, which means brother, is the notion that we are brothers of Christ, and Christ is merely a human being anointed by God to bring the gospel to men. That gospel, however, is a gospel of works, not a gospel of faith in Jesus Christ alone, and it's also a gospel that denies the very nature of God, including essentials such as the Trinity. And on top of all of that, they deny the existence of hell and eternal conscious punishment. So this is not a Christian movement.
Yeah, you're right. They do deny the punishment of hell. They think we just go to the grave and that's it.
Yeah.
And they don't believe in the Trinity in the sense that I guess you would believe in it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Hank.
Hey, you got it. And again, really the sense of what I believe or do not believe is not what is axiomatic here. The sense is, what does the Bible say about the nature of God? Now, we can't fully comprehend the nature of God, but we can apprehend the nature of God because God has condescended to reveal himself to us, a heavenly condescension to human limitations. And we know that there's only one God, and that one God is revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. And if you want to get a better notion of all of that, there's an incredible edition of the Christian Research Journal. In fact, on the cover are the three words, "We were wrong." But in the process of showing how we were wrong in our assessment of the local churches, which were founded by Watchman Nee and his disciple Witness Lee, we also explicate the nature of God, and it is absolutely intoxicating to get a good grasp of the nature of God as revealed through Scripture. Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller did just a fabulous job with the article that explicates the nature of God. So you want to get the journal for that reason alone, but it will be edifying in many other ways as well. It is available. It is a subscription magazine that is available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk next to Rodney. Rodney is listening on KQCV in Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Hi, Rodney.
Hello, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Yes, just fine. I have a question. I've been a Christian for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. I joined the Apostolic Church. One night, a guest minister preached, and after his sermon was over, he invited people down to the altar. He laid hands on them, and they all fell down. I found out later that they were supposedly slain in the spirit. I wondered about that after I heard your broadcast about a month and a half ago saying that that was a cult-like deal, and the only thing in the Bible that refers to that was when they came to arrest Jesus, and that particular thing happened. My question is this: if that's not biblical, why are they doing it, and are they serious? And it's got me puzzled because it didn't happen to me, and I was standing next to them.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things that we can say about that is nowhere do you find this in the ministry of Jesus Christ. That should be a bit of a red flag. If this is a practice that should be followed, you'd think you'd find it in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And sometimes people say, well, you're wrong about that because in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, they fell back. Well, if that's what slain in the spirit is, I'm pretty sure we don't want it.
Okay.
Also, it's explainable by natural processes. In other words, it can be a purely human response to autosuggestion or group peer pressure or simply a desire to experience the phenomenon. Thirdly, let me say that it is found in the world of the occult. And therefore, we should be rather hesitant to import it into the Christian church. So what was once practiced in the ashrams of cultists is now unfortunately practiced before the altars of churches. A next point I would make in this regard is that we're called to be alert and sober-minded because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he will devour. So alert and sober-minded, rather than being in an altered state of consciousness or slain in the spirit. And I like what Wesley did. He attributed this kind of phenomenon to the simplicity of people and to the ploys of Satan. So we should stay away from it.
Thank you very much, Hank.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now. We'll talk to Don. He's listening on XM 170 in Indiana. Hi, Don.
Hi, Hank. I hope you're doing well tonight.
I am. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you. First of all, I sure appreciate your ministry and especially your view and the description of Hades. I didn't realize that that was also the abode of the saved as well as the unsaved. That answers a lot of questions.
It's the abode of the dead, yes.
Yes. We look at the Corinthians. The son who was living with was his mother-in-law and sexual sins. Should the same measure be applied by a church to those who are cohabitating unmarried?
Well, I think we make a mockery of the church if the church does not include discipline, if the church simply winks at sin. I don't think we would think much of a physician if you had cancer and he winked at you and said you'll be just fine. Obviously, if he is a legitimate doctor, he is going to do something, either send you to a specialist, or if he's a specialist himself, he's going to tend to the problem because he cares about you. And that's the same mm-hmm. thing that a shepherd or a pastor does. He cares about his flock. And if members of the flock are living in willful sin, diametrically opposed to the precepts and the principles of Scripture, to do nothing is simply to abdicate your responsibility as a shepherd. So the least thing that a pastor can do or a church can do is to speak to the couple with gentleness and with respect, to reprove them so that they might turn from sin. But if they say in the end, you know what, we want to do it our own way, we really don't care what the Bible says, we don't care what you do, yes, they should be excommunicated because they should ultimately learn that Satan's principles do not help them but hurt them. And by being pushed out into a world run by Satan's principles, they learn a lesson and they can, by God's grace, repent of their sin. And as a result of this, this promotes spiritual purity not only in their life but in the lives of the congregation.
You expressed my feelings and my views exactly, and that's what I promoted, and it was maybe thought that I was a little narrow-minded, but thank you for your backup. Appreciate your program. God's blessings to you. I think the investment that you are making into eternity which I'm sure you would agree far outweighs the lack of the popular platform here below.
God bless you, Don, and I couldn't agree more. Appreciate your encouragement. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Haya. Hi.
How are you? I appreciate that you answered my phone calls.
You're welcome.
I want to know if you're aware of the Coptic problem right now.
The Coptic problem? Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay.
You're talking about persecution?
Any kind of help from you?
Well, explain to everybody what's going on.
Okay. You know, we celebrate our Christmas on the 6th of January.
Yes.
We're the Coptic Orthodox Christian.
Yes, yes.
And after they finish the Mass in the cathedral in Najah Hammadi, they left, and there was some youth talking to each other outside of the church. Some Muslim group came. They killed 7 of them, one from 16 range until 22. This is in Egypt on our Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Haya, would you lead us in a prayer?
Why don't you say it so everybody can hear you, and I say with you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, you know what is happening around the world to those persecuted for the cause of Christ. And Lord, we know that the church was born and forged in the cauldron of persecution, that the blood of the martyrs has become the seed of the church. May the testimony of those who are being persecuted allow your kingdom to grow and be established in ever more fruitful ways, particularly as we think of Egypt today. And Lord, also I'm aware of the persecution that is happening in Pacific Rim nations, principally in China, and how through that persecution, your word is spreading and your gospel and kingdom are being established on the earth. And so, Lord, we pray for those who are suffering persecution, and we pray as well for those in the West who are on flowery beds of ease and forget that there is a world of believers that need your prayerful intercession. And so we commit to do this, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Haya.
Thank you very much.
Bless you. Thank you for your call and a great remembrance to pray for the persecuted church. And I've met with Christians that have been persecuted for the cause of Christ in faraway places and so often have been humbled by the fact that there is not a bit of angst in their faces, but they're gladly bearing the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have asked those persecuted Christians from time to time to pray for us in the West, for so often we have become lax. We are living our lives as though this life is all that counts, as opposed to living our lives for the commendation of Jesus Christ, who says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll give you many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." So pray for the persecuted church, and pray that the persecuted church would pray for us. And in the meantime, be equipped, always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. One of the ways to do that is by getting into the Word of God and getting the Word of God into you. Meditating on the Word of God is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and effective prayer life.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Tumblr, or read Hank's latest thoughts on his blog at hankhanegraaff.blogspot.com. Become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
Sarah. set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologist Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they challenge the skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Worship led by Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss. May 7th and 8th in Tampa, Florida. Early registration just $49 per person. For more information, visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And do remember that the ministry of the Christian Research Institute is a way of reaching people, not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. And while the gospel is free, someone needs to put in the plumbing. We need people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. If you can be one of those resources that stands with us prayerfully, please pray that God will raise up those who have the resources to stand with this ministry and continue to have this voice circle the world. And if you have resources that you can invest in the ministry, we pray that you would do that. You can give to the ministry on the World Wide Web at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And of course, when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Graham next. He's listening in Canada, Calgary, Alberta. Hi, Graham.
Hi. Yeah, I have a question about the human mind being able to, see the future, like premonitions. And I was like, your opinion on if you think it's God talking to you, or, what do you feel on that?
No, I don't think it's God talking to you. I think that God speaks to us through His Word. He can speak to us through other people. They can be agents of His voice to us. But again, anything that comes outside the Bible has to be tested by the Bible. So if you believe that you might have an intuitive insight or perceptiveness, that's true. I mean, it is true that God gives people acute sense of perceptiveness or insights. But those are gained within the context of a biblical worldview, not through practices that are outside a biblical worldview. So in a sense, we can talk about clairvoyance in a biblical sense only if we're talking about acute perceptiveness or insight, but that comes through understanding God and His Word, but not in an occultic sense where we're seeking information outside of that.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking, when it comes naturally, I have, I've seen my whole life, basically, the different steps in my life, and I've always followed my instincts, and it's always turned out good. And to me, it's God talking through me,
But again, remember that your feelings or your perceptions are notoriously unreliable, and therefore they always need to be tested, and the final court of testing or arbitration is the Word of God. Feelings, again, are notoriously unreliable, and you want to underscore that in your mind.
But how do you test it, though? That's what I mean. How do you know if it's God talking to you?
Well, again, the parameters or the principles are laid down in God's Word. And one of the things we know from His Word is that He doesn't blaze a floodlight down the trail of our life. He doesn't let us know what's going to happen in the future. He shields that from us, and He does that for a reason. If we knew what the future held, we wouldn't want to face the future. The reason we can face the future as God gives us the grace to live by step, and oftentimes not a moment too soon. And that causes us not to rely on the arm of flesh, but rather to rely on the strength of God.
Yeah, like I read the story of Joseph and how he's seen his life. He felt that the things that were going to happen to him.
Yes, but this is
how would I relate it to it?
Yeah, and I think though there's a category mistake here. It is true that the prophets and the patriarchs in the Bible, as well as the apostles, were given special dispensations by God, which is to say that they were given special insights. God worked through them in a special way, but now He works through people via His Word, and that's why we use that as the test for all things. And therefore, I tell people all the time, I may have insights into the Word of God, but ultimately, I need to be tested in light of the Word of God, because that is the final court of arbitration. Got to leave it at that. Want to go back to the phone lines? Let's talk to Leslie. She's listening on WMCA, New York, New York. Hi, Leslie.
Hello, good evening, sir, and God bless you.
Thank you.
I want to know, as a person who's been called to ministry as a beginner, I would like to know if it's a good, can you give me some advice if I should start ministry in another country for 1 month, 3 months, or a year? What would be your advice? Should I just go out there on a limb?
Well, no, I don't think you should go out on a limb. I think you should seek godly advice, not an electronic voice, someone that knows your circumstances and your situation, a pastor in a healthy, well-balanced church, or members of a healthy, well-balanced church that know your life and can give you direction in this regard. So you want to make sure that you get counsel from godly people, not just go out rashly. But let me say this, certainly from a personal perspective, having been involved in mission work in other countries, and having seen the impact of that on my children as they've been involved in missionary trips and the like, it has had an incredible formative impact on their life. So I'm very positive about doing that. But again, when my kids want to go on a mission trip, they spend time talking with their mom and their dad and other godly people, and we make a reasoned approach to this, and then we make a decision. So we want to do everything that we do prayerfully in the context of the Council of Godly People.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you, Leslie. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Kim. She's listening in Kansas. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Hank. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure.
Listen, I ran across a news report over Fox News on television that they showed a picture of an ancient Hebrew manuscript that was recently uncovered and, more importantly, recently translated. And the implication was such that they said that the references that were found to both Isaiah and King David might quite possibly predate the Bible and its writing 10 centuries. And my question to you is, if that's the case, then what implications does that have for those such that perhaps late date such books as John's writings and Revelation?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things I would say about that. First of all, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were discovered in 1947, 1948, and they predate the earliest extant text, the Masoretic text, by 1,000 years, or 10 centuries. And there are fragments of almost every book of the Old Testament. You have complete Isaiah. And while there are changes in style and spelling, there's no change in substance. So this has become a great testimony to the authenticity of the Old Testament that we're reading today. There have been other like discoveries. For example, silver scrolls were discovered in 1980, which were 500 years older than the Dead Sea Scrolls, or the oldest Dead Sea Scroll. And they have corroborated the priestly benediction that you find in number 6. So these kinds of archaeological discoveries have been very, very efficacious to the Christian faith. Archaeology has been a great friend and has underscored the veracity of the text so that we know that God has majestically and supernaturally preserved his word over time. In terms of the question with respect to the New Testament, I think it's instructive to note that all of the books of the Bible, all of the books of the New Testament, were written prior to AD 70 and the destruction of the temple. And there's a lot of evidence for that. In fact, the evidence for that is so overwhelming that there are a lot of people that heretofore had different opinions in this regard who are now making very, very strong statements in this regard. And that has been extremely encouraging to me on many different levels.
Right. I would imagine. Well, I just am so honored to have an opportunity to speak to you and have been blessed so much by your resources. Thank you, Hank, very much.
Well, thank you. God bless you. I appreciate your...
Hey, listen,
your...
I wanted to pick up the Privileged Planet. I've been speaking to a gentleman, and I thought maybe we might be able to encourage him in that way. So if I could be placed on hold for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Hang on. And for everybody listening to those words, Privileged Planet, if you don't have it, it's one of the greatest DVDs that we've ever offered. If you want your faith bolstered with respect to the issue of origins, I can think of very few resources that will do a better job of that. And again, it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. I was talking about people who are today writing about the fact that everything in the Bible was written early, which is to say that there's a short time frame between the events and the autographa chronicling those events, or the original manuscripts that chronicled those events, and there's a short time between the original manuscripts and the copies that we have, and we can be assured that all of the biblical books in the New Testament were written prior to AD 70. Here's what Josh McDowell says. He says, most liberal scholars are being forced to consider earlier dates for the New Testament. Indeed, John A.T. Robinson comes to some startling conclusions in his groundbreaking book, Redating the New Testament. His research has led to his conviction that the whole of the New Testament was written before the fall of Jerusalem in A.D. 70. Another prominent evangelical writer says, if you and your fellow followers write accounts of Jesus after the temple and the city of Jerusalem are destroyed in A.D. 70, aren't you going to at least mention that unprecedented national, human, economic, and religious tragedy somewhere in your writings, especially since the risen Jesus had predicted it? The answer in bold letters is, of course, and we can trust what we have in the Word of God. We can build a cumulative case through manuscript evidence, archaeology, through predictive prophecies made in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament, and through scriptural synergy that the Bible is indeed divine as opposed to merely human in origin. We say God has spoken. These are His Word. But there is an attendant question, and that question is this. If God has spoken, what has God said? I've written a book called The Apocalypse Code, and it teaches you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. It is available through the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can just talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. We thank you for your prayers and support, and look forward to seeing you in the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101. That's 877-768-2784, extension 101. Or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the Word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.